We have come to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians in our study. As I think you've caught on by now, we have Bible study on Sunday morning. This is known as the resurrection chapter. Pretty timely, isn't it? I didn't plan that. It just come in our study. And you look at it, and I'm sure you see, well, that's a long chapter. Well, don't get scared. I won't give it all this morning. We'll have the second part, the Lord willing, on Easter morning. But we're going to start with the first verse now. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye were saved. If ye keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Paul is reminding the saints here of the gospel which he preached and which their assembly was established. This is written unto all of us. We stand for the gospel of grace that God revealed unto the Apostle Paul. Well, he says they received it and were saved. He assumes that they're holding fast to his teaching. But if they have not, then they're only professors instead of possessors. There is a difference, and there's much of that in Christendom today. Many professors. But have they really received the Lord Jesus Christ? Have they really received the gospel? Verse 3, Paul says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." So he's letting them know he didn't receive this gospel from men. He received it from God himself. The gospel of Christ. How that Christ, notice he didn't use the word Jesus. Christ, the eternal one, died on Calvary for our sins. He took the penalty of sin upon himself according to the scriptures, according to the Old Testament prophecies. We read in Isaiah 53, verse 5, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Verse 4, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures." His burial proves a real death. And that he rose again. The empty tomb is irrefutable evidence of Christ's resurrection. We're going to see some evidences here that proves. And it is according to the scripture. God's promise, I'll just say one, Psalm 16:10. "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell," upper Sheol, "neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time that Paul's writing, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So there was witnesses, another proof. They saw him after his resurrection. He was seen with their eyes. It wasn't any vision. Verse 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Yes. Paul saw Christ on the road to Damascus, and he was saved. The Lord revealed himself from heaven unto him. And it was out of due time for the nation. The time of Israel's redemption as a nation, it was out of due time. Verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not all, but the grace of God which was with me. Praise the Lord. A lot to think about there. Paul knew it was all of God's grace. This morning that you're sitting here and worshiping the Lord, it's all of God's grace. You think of Paul. He was persecuting the followers of Christ, oh, vehemently. And he was really, by persecuting them, he was persecuting Christ. Acts 9, verse 4 and 5 tells us, Paul relays it there, is his testimony. The Lord spoke to him directly from heaven and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Any persecution that the saints endure, it's persecuting Christ. And Paul, experiencing such undeserved grace, he zealously preached Christ and thanked the Lord for the writings of Paul's epistles. He suffered a lot. He was in prison a lot. But we are the recipients of his imprisonments because he wrote these letters. Thank the Lord. Oh, the grace of God. Some things we don't understand, but boy, God's in charge and he knows what he's doing. Verse 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. He is reminding them that they received the resurrected Christ by faith. He says, ye believed. It was by faith. The message of Christ's resurrection is the very foundation truth of the gospel. The good news, that's what gospel means. The good news. But some in Corinth were accepting the doctrine of the Sadducees. Boy, that's a good name for them, Sad UC, huh? Because they say there's no resurrection of the dead. Well, isn't that the same that people reason today? Uh-huh. With these, as Jack used to say, our peanut brain. They reckon why there's no resurrection of the dead. That's reasoning of man. Verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith also vain. Yea, and we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Paul clearly spells out the first resurrection in the verses that we're reading. And when I say the first resurrection, it is all believers. The first resurrection is of all believers. Revelation 20, verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. How did it start? With Christ. He arose. And it ends at the end of the millennium, the first resurrection. That's when the last living saints will be raised. It's quite a bit to cover, isn't it? Christ is the first fruits of believers that have fallen asleep. Now, in this portion that we're reading this morning, we find no mention of the resurrection of the wicked dead, which will take place. Revelations 20, verses 11 through 15. But I don't want to go there. We're going to stay in this resurrection chapter for the believers. And in this chapter, it tells us all about the first resurrection, which is all believers that have believed and received Christ, and they are in him. We are in Christ. And we'll be made alive in him. In his own order or rank. Did I read that verse yet? In our chapter?
Which one? You finished with verse 15.
All right. We need to go back then and go start with 16. For if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Yet ye are in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. But if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Yes, that's the verse I wanted. I must have got a little bit lost there. Thank you for helping me out. Yes, all will be made alive in him who have received Jesus as their Savior. But what do we read here? Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. And the meaning there, as a military term, that means ranks. Every man in his own order or rank. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. I think I want to stop there for just a little bit. I'm not going to have a sermon on that this morning, which would be a sideline. But Scripture does tell us of different companies rising and going to heaven at different times. We find it in the book of Revelation. And we find in chapter 4 and 5, the living ones and the elders. They're in heaven. Then we come to chapter 7 of Revelation, and the innumerable company is taken up. That's chapter 7. I hope I didn't say wrong. Chapter 7. We come to chapter 11, and we read of the two witnesses. Chapter 14, we find the 144,000 in heaven. And then in Revelation 20 is the last sleeping saints at the end of the millennium. Praise the Lord. Verse 24. Then cometh the end, the consummation, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. All the kingdoms of the world will be his. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. During Christ's millennial reign, and we know by Revelation how long that is, it's 1,000 years, all things will be put under his feet. Jesus, as a man, will reign that 1,000 years as God Almighty. Then will be brought to pass Jesus' words that we read in Matthew 28:18. They will be, his words there will be fully fulfilled at that time. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Praise the Lord. That is when his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. Verse 27. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. Yes, praise the Lord. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. it will be manifest, it says. God the Father will be accepted because of the subjection of Christ. You remember in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, when God created the heaven and the earth, and on the end of the sixth day, he saw everything that he made and he pronounced it good. And it says he ended his work at the end of the sixth day. And the seventh day, he rested from all his work that he had made. Well, so, you know, there's seven dispensations of time. And so God the Father will rest during the seventh dispensation, just like that seventh day of creation. He will rest during the millennial reign of his Son. Now, God isn't subject unto the Son. That's not what it's saying. But he put all things under his Son. After Christ's glorious reign of peace and conquest, he will be subject unto the Father, that God may be all in all. So we come to understand God's divine program could never be carried out if the dead were not raised. Men try to do away with the supernatural, but God's purposes and plans, his promises, they will come to pass. As I just meditated upon this portion, and I thought, it's all based on God's love. Is it not? All of his love that he gave his Son to redeem sinful humanity. And he accomplished it by Christ's death and burial and resurrection. Amen? Amen. Amen. To be continued.